2018, I taught the series about enthusiasm. Remember the, or not the series, it was inside the series, but enthusiasm was one of the keys. Last week when I was teaching on the 10 virgins, I said, I know I've just gotten some real good insight on this in the past. And I actually went to that sermon, pulled out several things from that sermon. I was thinking, man, this is crazy what the Holy Spirit was saying to us back in 2018. And then again, back in September, when I got going in the area of the discipleship, and then again, where he just, really where I wasn't necessarily even looking, I don't want to say I stumbled upon it, because there's nothing in the spirit realm that you just stumble upon. It seems like you stumble upon it, but it's kind of one of those things that the Holy Spirit places in front of you. And so when he began really just, he's been dealing with us and he's been talking to us as a body, not just as individuals. Okay, as individuals in the body. So it's as the body. It's not just me. It's not just Pastor Elisa. It's not just individuals. It's every one of us as one operating and saying it's time to go all in. I really like the confirmation of the Holy Spirit this year where I don't mind, because I know people like Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Seville, all those guys, they post things on their Facebook, or they post things on their Instagram, and they'll tell you a little bit what God's telling you for the new year. And so I don't mind that per se. But I don't go out of my way to try to find out what other people are saying, simply because I want God, if God's going to give me something for the new year, I want it to be from Him. I don't want it to be what someone else said. And again, I don't have a problem. I have it written down in my office, just several things that different people have said about 2020. And again, can I say it like this? I don't doubt what they're saying. But again, it's going to come down to, I think what God's telling us is going to come down to us just being all in. And I think the Holy Spirit has just, even with this morning's message, there's a little while this afternoon I thought maybe I was supposed to just finish this morning's message, because I didn't really get very far into it. But the whole thing is about you being faithful in what God called you. So I know where I'm going next Sunday morning, because I was able to just kind of decipher, just get that. But are you going all in on what God has placed in your hands? And it is just, it is the thing that the Holy Spirit, and again, I would kind of think, we've talked about it enough. But when the Lord put this book in front of me, one of my things this year was to make sure keep reading books and to keep going through books and people with passion. And so this book happens to be one with somebody that is really trying to give us a picture of passion, which is all in. And so I just feel like we're kind of going through the book, but I'm just kind of using it as a guide to it. And then whatever the Holy Spirit tells me beyond that, or there's things in it that I'm not covering, because it's not clicked in me. So today we're going to continue going on in here, talking about that area of being all in. And let's go ahead and go to Genesis chapter 12. Now one of the things that I'm doing with this is that I'm not trying to bite off a huge chunk, where we're covering 25 different things in one message. That's kind of what, with the way our series has been on Sunday morning, it almost feels like, and even on Wednesdays, you can go through a lot of different things because of just the nature of it. You go this sentence, this portion, and you can kind of really develop in that one area. So I really don't want to do this, because I want us to marinate on this area of being all in. And I want it to be something that when we go home, that we, again, we're not necessarily thinking in terms of the whole menu per se, but we're thinking in terms of that one item that we want to just, you know, have that flavor in our mouths all week long. And so in Genesis chapter 12, I say that to just explain it like this, is that some of these messages are not extraordinarily long in this series, because I'm literally just wanting to say what the Holy Spirit wants me to say, and then whatever after that. But in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we know this portion of Scripture, but this is just where the Holy Spirit has us tonight. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curses thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Now, I was looking at this, and again, it says, get thee out of the country, from your father's house, to a place that I'm going to show you. So he didn't say, I want you to go to a street called Straight and see a man there, right? He didn't give him any really specific details. He said, I want you to go by faith and do this thing, and I'm going to lead you along the way. Now, again, many people can look at this and go, I would go with God. Just think about what he's asking him to do. Because his parents weren't dead, he was leaving his father's house. So he was walking away from an inheritance. As far as we know, he is walking away and leaving the house, leaving the tent, leaving the cars, leaving the animals, leaving the business behind. The thing that he was at 75 years old. So I mean, he was not young in this venture. I mean, he was old in this venture, and or at 65, 75. He was not just a teenager, teeny bopper in this whole venture here. He was well past. I mean, he was late in life. Okay, and God said, "All right, here's what I want you to do, and I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. I'm going to make you a nation. All right, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. In you and through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All right. Now, my point is this: is that how many of you would simply say, "I think that kind of proves Abraham was all in. That God said, I want you to go, and he went." To me, I was looking at that, and I thought, starting over at 75 years old or at 65 years old, that's I'm kind of getting the feeling that he was all in. But that was just a start. Has God ever spoke to you to do something outrageous? Give something that was beyond your comfort zone? And I'm not even talking about your tithe. I'm talking about giving something that was big. I'm talking about giving a big seed. Because most of us in this room, at some point, God has told us to give something that was perhaps at least a level uncomfortable. Right? And most of us would look back on that and go, proof, I'm all in. I'm all in. And again, I'm not dogging this, because I believe he's all in. He went, and he went to a land without knowing where he's going, and said, I'm going to do what God wanted me to do, because I want all these blessings. So he carried the promise, but for 25-ish plus years, it didn't seem like a whole lot was going on. You agree with me, right? That it doesn't seem like the whole lot's going on favorable for him. We've got, when he's about 85 years old, Ishmael comes along because he's trying to help God out. Now he's all in, or at least, can I say, to a level, he's all in, because he did something outrageous. And I am focusing on this a little bit because for most of us, we can look back at our time in our lives where we did something that was beyond our comfort zone and are like, see, I'm all, there may be some of you out there that are like, man, I bring a tenth of all my income into the house of God. If that doesn't prove that I'm all in, that just proves you're obedient. There's something that God's wanting us to understand that there's a little bit deeper to really understand that, that they understand the point of being all completely consumed in to the things of God. And here, Abraham, he left everything, but he still seemed a long ways from his promise. Now, you don't have to answer this out loud because you'll kind of be right, but you won't be right, most likely. What was Abraham's promise? Now, again, some of you are probably going, a son, Isaac, but it was bigger than that. Yeah. Genesis 12 was his promise. But Genesis 12 was going to take place through Isaac. Remember, God said it's going to come from your line. It's going to come from your Sarah's belly. It's going to be your child. And the promise of the earth and all the blessings and the magnificent promise is going to come through Isaac. But the promise was bigger than just Isaac. And I want to throw that out at you because a lot of times we think the promise of God is finances. I want, you know, Lord, I'm believing you for, you know, we can look at, you know, what the church is believing for at cancellation or removal or paying. Again, I'm not against paying Uncle Sam, but paying that debt. And we can look at, man, when I get that money in, when that money comes in and we're able to write those checks and get that off of our, get that off of that, it's going to be such a burden and we've reached our promise. We've reached what we've been believing God for. No, that's barely the get-go right there. That's barely the giddy-up. Are you with me here? And sometimes we can look at the things that we're believing for in part and think that that is the totality of what God is, what God's doing in us. God, Abraham's promise was not a son, it was the blessing. But the son was a part of the blessing. Now go over to Genesis 22. I hope, there's sometimes I write down notes and I don't write the notes down like completely that I have them down there. So I have to really depend on the Holy Spirit to do some teaching for me. But Genesis 22, and we know this account again, but we're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read a little bit of it. Verse 1. All right, so we know that there's been 25 years of a lot of waiting, a lot of believing, a lot of trying to help God out, a lot of stuff going on. Finally, him and it says there in Romans chapter 4 that against hope, he believed in hope, that he still had an expectation that he was going to be a father. They did what needed to be done to become a father. It was not immaculate inception. It was not, you know, they kept going after it at 90 years old and 100. And there he is. Here's their promised child. And he's growing up. And God says, man, this is where the blessing's flowing, right here through this man, through Isaac. And you can't tell, I mean, you can't tell me. I know Abraham had other children, all of the stuff later on and stuff like that. But you can't tell me that Isaac wasn't their favorite. That Isaac just wasn't like the sun rose and set on Isaac. And so why? Because, man, that's where that's the thing. That's the one. That's where everything that God said we could have is coming through. The funny thing is that God said back in Genesis, if you get up, move, go, there's this blessing going to come upon you. 25 years later, the son is born, and not a whole lot has started yet, right? But it's interesting here because we're going to read here later in a few minutes here that the blessing, though it had been spoken over them, had not been released yet. It's interesting. And I know you're like, well, he spoke it to him. He spoke it to him. Yeah, he said, this is yours. But there was something that was holding it back. And this is going to be fun. But in verse 1, Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, flip that over to like the New Living Translation. I just want to see what it says on there because... sometime later, God tested. Okay, that's where most of them say tested. You can go back to the King James. Again, we understand, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but we understand that God will not tempt man with evil. Right? He's not bringing sickness, not bringing things on you, negative. He's not stealing. He's not bringing the thief to come to, and take and empty out your bank account just to see if you'll trust him still. But he's not going to tempt, test, or try you in that way. But what he will do, and this says God tested him. Hebrews 11, 17, I think it is. It says Abraham was tested of God. And so you're like, he doesn't test people. He absolutely does. But he doesn't test them with evil. He tests them with obedience. He tests them with faithfulness. So it says here, after these things, God did test Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. I like that relationship. And he said, take now thy only son Isaac, this is the one that all the blessings were supposed to flow through, right? Every one of them. Every one of the blessings that he gave back in Genesis chapter 12 was supposed to flow through this one kid. But again, the point I'm bringing in is that the kid seemed to be, it seemed to be, and again, I think a lot of times it is what he's believing for, but it wasn't the end all. We want raises in our jobs, and we want increase in our jobs, and we want promotions in our jobs, and we stand there and we'll speak it, we'll declare it that we want raises. But again, what we talked about this morning, the raises are not an end all. God's not wanting just to give you a raise just so that your kingdom's established. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to be blessed. But he wants you to get a raise so his kingdom's established. I mean, he's in it for you. Don't. Some people can't get nervous. Don't get nervous in the service. But he's in this thing because he wants you to prosper. But he wants his kingdom to prosper. God did not want it to stop with Abraham. Abraham thought the end all was Isaac and his only son. His spoiled brat. I don't know if he's a brat, but he was spoiled. He had to have been. He got everything he wanted to have. And so God says, hey, you know that son? That only son that you have? That son that you believed for 25 years? And actually, probably believed for him for a lifetime. It's just that he didn't really understand he was using the blessing. Whom thou lovest, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I tell of thee. That's the old joke that says, can I talk to your mother? Because I don't think I heard you right. Okay. Most of us would have agreed to a level that Abraham was all in Genesis 12. And now God asked him to do a completely and totally, can I say it like this, unreasonable thing. What would my dead son do to bring about the promise? I don't know about you, but I know that I'd have at least a couple thoughts. But see, that tells you the difference between us and where Abraham was. I'd at least have the conversation that says, well, Lord, that doesn't make sense. You said this son was going to be whom that promise came through, and now you're wanting me to kill him? That doesn't make sense to me. Because in the flesh, it doesn't make sense, any of it. I would have had the conversation that said, hold it. What is it, Stanley from The Office? Have you lost your mind? That's the kind of... I would have had at least a thought. The Bible says these were Abraham's thoughts. Two different thoughts, they say, it was on his mind at this. The first thought, his son was dead. As soon as God asked him to do it, his son was dead. The second thought he had was that God's raising him up again. I think it's Hebrews that said he received him to life again. He already knew. I ain't saying goodbye to him. Why? Because the promise is coming through this son. And you want to know something? The promise did come through that son. Not just through the seed in this son, but through what just happened here in this area. The promise had been given, but it had not been released until this episode through his son. Verse 3 right there, Taylor, what does that first word say? And he arose early in the morning. He didn't wait until the afternoon. He didn't wait to think about it. I guess he slept on it. How could God suggest such a thing? How huge was that request? Can anybody in this room think of a bigger request that God could ask somebody to do? I mean, I can think of some big ones. But when it came to laying my son on the altar and slicing him up down the middle so his entrails hang out, I think that one wins it. That is the greatest thing that God could have asked. The request was beyond huge. I have it written down here. I think the request was somewhat unreasonable. Now again, in our minds, God knows how I'm saying this. How could God say, was it unreasonable? The answer is no. Now let me say this. I do not see God as wanting Abraham to sacrifice and kill his son. I do not see God. I do not believe God was thinking that we just need to get rid of that boy. You know? I do not see that. I do not see that that was God's plan here. God's plan was to test Abraham's obedience. But if Abraham was not willing, I got to make sure I say this correctly, because if Abraham wasn't willing, then covenant would say God didn't have to. You see, we look at the Israeli nation, and we see Abraham gave birth to Isaac, and Isaac to Esau and Jacob, and Jacob carried the blessing, and he gave the 12 tribes came out of Jacob. And so we look at, man, that just is created. What did that create? The Israeli nation, a nation will come out of your womb. And it did. It literally did. But then it says, in thee all the people of the world, nations shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it had to go past that. Now you know what caused it to go past that was this covenant that God was making with Abraham. And when Abraham said, I'm willing to give my only son. We know he had other children later. But when you've waited all that time to have one, and then God says, okay, now I want you to give him to me. But when he said, I'm not willing to hold anything back. I'm all in and I'm willing. You want my only son? You want me to give my only son to you? You want me to sacrifice him? I'm willing to do that. When he did that, that released the necessity. Where am I at here on the wording? He went all in, therefore God had to go all in. He had to. And I'm not saying God was looking, but it was a covenant. This was a covenant issue. And he found a man, the father of our faith, who is willing to go all in and give his only begotten son. At that time, it was his only begotten son. He was willing to give him up. And therefore God said, go on down to verse 15. I love this. I just love that, again, the point wasn't just an answer to prayer. Isaac was an answer to prayer. The blessing was bigger than that. And a lot of times we feel like our end all is the prayer, is what we've been believing for. I want to see families born again. But God's saying, no, it doesn't end with that. Because there's a revival coming. And your family will be smack dab in the middle of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Now notice this. The ram gets caught in the thicket. And the angel stops his hand and says, no, you've already done it. And again, the two thoughts that were in his mind, he's already killed him and he's coming to life again. He stopped him because it wasn't God's plan. He didn't want Isaac dead. He wanted a willing heart. He wanted somebody who was completely, completely enamored with who he is. The first message we preached on this, we talked a lot about the disciples who gave it all. They were completely enamored with who God was, and there was nothing that was holding them back. God's looking for that same thing in us. What's the one thing God could tell you to do that you'd say, I don't think so? Hallelujah. I think about my kids, and I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that both of my kids want to live in Moorhead, grow up, raise their kids in Moorhead. I think many of you are too. But I think about when I was, it was 98, so I was 40 years old. No, I'd have been 30 years old. Goodness gracious. I was a young whippersnapper. And God called me and my 20-year-old wife and my infant son and my baby daughter that was still in mama's belly and said, I want you to go down to Brownsville, Texas, 20 hours. I look at my dad's response to me, and I'm like, because I remember coming back the second time from there visiting and said, so have you found anybody to take it yet? And he said, no. He said, I was hoping you would. And I said, I did. We did. And that was his answer. And see, my dad for 4 years, my mom for those 4 years, had their son and their grandchildren and their daughter-in-law, their favorite daughter, right, Jessica, 24 hours away from them. And I was so grateful when God called me back to Moorhead, called me back to Kentucky. But I look at that and I think, man, that's giving your son, the child, to God. But see, it was not just the promise or the thing that they'd been believing for that was the key. It was giving that, being willing to give that up. When he was ready to kill that child, and the ram got it, he made the sacrifice, he went down there, no one was none the wiser except for him and Isaac. I wonder when they told Sarah. If they told Sarah. Best off not to tell Sarah. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn. Now again, this is most likely God. This is not just an angel. He said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. Again, the promise hadn't been released. It had been given, it hadn't been released. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I'll bless thee, multiplying I'll multiply thee, multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy, and in thy seed all nations shall be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. I just simply have here, he passed the test. And he saw his son. He didn't lose it. I was thinking about it, and this kind of what I feel like is the point to what I'm saying, is that earlier I asked you, and I didn't ask for a raise of hands because I don't know how many of you has God ever said, I want you to sow something big. I want you to do something big. I want you to do something large, something that makes you feel a little uncomfortable. And we've gone, yeah. And when you said yeah, and then you look back at that, and maybe you've seen it come to pass. Maybe you've seen promises come. Maybe you've seen things break through. Maybe you haven't. I don't know what you have yet. But some of us might think, well, that's proof that I'm all in. And what God is wanting us to understand is that He's not done. You're not done. Again, you may have been all in 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, but are you all in today? And God's going to ask you again. God's going to talk to you again about, again, giving the precious, giving the thing that means something to you, yielding it to you, yielding to Him. Whatever He would have for you to do, you're willing to do it. It may be monetary. It may be something in action. It may be doing something that makes you uncomfortable. But He doesn't just want to release to you something. He wants you to operate in the deepness of the blessing. I read one of the things Mark Batson said, and I kind of paraphrased this, so I shouldn't even have to give him credit for it. But he said, many Christians don't have 25 years of experience, even though they've been born again for 25 years. They've experienced the same test 25 times, and they've failed it every time. Because God continues to try to get you to do something. And for whatever reason, I'm fascinated by that story. The more you think about that story, the more questions come to your mind. Why didn't Abraham at least say, what good would that do? What good would killing my son do? Lord, that doesn't make sense. The blessing's running through him. What good would that do? Maybe some of you in this place, your security is in... I was reading Mark Batson, and he'll challenge you right there. Batterson. He said, I know people who's got their 401ks, their savings account, their all that kind of stuff, and that's where the trust is at. And God's like, I want something bigger for you, but you put your trust in the wrong thing. Now, I'm sharing that with you. I'm not selling anybody here. It was a challenge to me. My point simply is here, beloved, is that if we want all that God has, and again, let's look at that. Because of what Abraham did and went all in, it was a covenant issue, which meant God had to go all in. He could not spare his son because his covenant partner didn't spare his. As long as we're spending our time trying to spare our finances or spare our time or spare our lives or spare our children or spare whatever and trying to then we are keeping ourselves at a distance from what God's really wanting to do. And my point here tonight isn't to try to get anybody. I'm not going to take up an offering. Don't worry about that. I think you all know me well enough to know if I ever take up an offering, it's because God told me to, and you better give. But it is one of those things to examine yourself. What has God been talking to you about doing and giving up? You know, it's maybe that the thing that you think, but I've been believing for this. I've been, have you ever believed in a jewelry, a clothing, a car, a watch, whatever? Have you ever believed one of those things in and then God said, I want you to give it away? And you're like, but I believed it in. I used faith for this thing. I sold for this thing. It goes back to what we talked about this morning. God's for you. He's not against you having something. He's got something better around the corner. Abraham walked off that mountain with his son and with an activated blessing. If Abe would not have gone all in, he would have robbed God the chance to be his, to prove himself as the provider. God wants to, he wants to reveal himself to you as more than just the one that can do some blessings here and there. He wants to show himself, he wants to reveal himself to you as the one that can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything you'd ask or think. But it's going to come when we take those limits. What's the limit to if God asked you to give something, what's your limit? As long, I'm not even going to give illustrations because people can get nervous when pastor starts giving illustrations of that kind of stuff. What's the limit? How big would it be? Because again, the point is God's saying, man, I want to do things that will shake the foundation of Moorhead. But unless I have people that are really willing to have their foundation shaken in their lives, not out of fear, not out of torment, simply out of doing something radical, then I can't do what, I'm limited in what I can do. That's one of the things about where God has talked to me. I already shared this tonight about when I was in worship, and I just felt like I'm going all in. I'm not going to let any who's here or who's not here or good reasons or bad reasons hold me back. I'm going all in because I'm not after this thing of just saying, of just saying, well, if we don't make it, it's everybody else's fault. I'm making it. I'm going all in. And if I go by myself, which I don't think I have to do, I'm going. And that's that really needs to be the thing, is that if we're all in that mentality of saying, I'm going, I'm not letting anything hold me back. I'm not letting a seed hold me back. I'm not letting an obedience hold me back. I'm not letting anything hold me back, because God's got something greater than just some money saved up in my savings account. God's got something greater than just some money saved up in my checking account or under my mattress or in my safe in my house. God's got something more in store for me. And if I'll go all in, then what He's got planned for me will take action. Just like the blessing on Abraham. Amen? Hallelujah. I hope that got you. I hope you got what I speak in here. Hallelujah. What God is getting ready to do is enormous. And it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for those that are limited. Amen. I got a little bit I'll give you, Lord. Now, when you unlock yours, He'll unlock His. Amen. Let's stand together.